physical items, and you love people because of how they change your life. So I love Rav Lichtenstein because he really radically changed my life. I love my wife because we spent 33 years together, building and changing, and she made me a better person and helped me build a family, and I love her for that. So as you grow older, love isn't potato chips and french fries and sports and things that make your heart beat. You love abstractly. So when you understand how Hashem's will enhances your life, then that's called Avas Hashem. And this is a summary of the Rambam and Hilchos Teshuva. Yiras Shamayim is the exact opposite. Yiras Shamayim is when you can't understand Hashem's will. When you submit to Hashem's will, as Yeshaya says, Ki lo machshev osai machshev oseichem, but lo darchechem durachayinu Hashem. That's why the Akedah was an exercise not of Avas Hashem, but of Yiras Shamayim. Avram's entire career, he proved he was an Oyev Hashem. And he's the only one in Tanakh to be called an Oyev Hashem. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya, Zera Avram Ohavi. Because he proved for the first time in history that Hashem is kind and compassionate and wants human beings to prosper. Because before Avram, everyone assumed gods were angry and grotesque figures in heaven, manipulating human beings and punishing them. Avram first discovered that Hashem is Racham Bechanum, and he's Mechak L'chaim Bechased. So he's able to try to show the world that Hashem's will is for your benefit. And that's why most people who are born into monotheism, Jews and Christians, live advanced lives, medical, education, politics, liberal economies, and most of the Far East that's still stuck in ancient paganistic rituals are living backward lives. Islam is a bit of an outlier because it's monotheistic, but it's so militant that it eliminates that aspect of Hashem being compassionate. Certainly Islamic fundamentalist Islam. But at the Akedah, Hashem says, okay, now you showed me you can worship me when you understand. Now see if you can submit to me when you don't understand. That's why when Avram succeeds, or at least he's willing to, Hashem says, or the Malach says, Ata yadati ki yirei elokim ata. I knew that you were an Oyev Hashem, but I need to see if you're a yirei Shemayim. If you want a fancy way to say it, if you think you know Hashem, you don't know Hashem. If you know you don't know Hashem, then you know Him. Got it? If you think you can know Hashem, then you're still translating Hashem into human terms, and anytime you translate the infinite Hashem into human terms, that's called paganism. So if you think you know Him, you don't know Him. If you know you don't know Him, then you know Him. It's called negative capability in the Rambam. The only word I can apply to Hashem is the word not. Because every other word is taken from my experience and it doesn't apply to Him. He's not tall, He's not short, He's not hot, He's not cold, He's not big, He's not small. These are all human experiences. And they don't apply to Hashem. So the only word from my experience that can apply to Hashem is not. Not. And that's what the Akedah is. So Avram can't understand Hashem's command. It counters every moral instinct he possesses. It clashes with Hashem's previous haftachas. And he says, Hinei. Rav Amital's chiddush was, and I'll just tell you three stories that Rav Amital told us in the Medrash, that though he's willing to submit to Hashem, final analysis, he never gives up his humanity. And his humanity, his human moral spirit is not outraged, it's a hard word to say, but is troubled, is in turmoil. So at the end of the day, if this goes through, Avram will perform it, but he won't give up his humanity. And that was Rav Amital's famous vart, that the human instincts Hashem gave you have a place in your avodas Hashem. That's how Avram discovered Hashem, the human instincts. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. And some would say, once Hashem gave us the Torah, you just follow the halacha, and that's your route to Hashem. And everything before about being a human, that doesn't really contribute to your avodas Hashem. And Rav Amital said, no. Har Sinai added, it didn't displace. You know the way you can be an Oved Hashem? By following halacha and learning Torah and also being the best human you can be. Now what happens when they clash? Oh, okay, when they clash, it's clear. Halacha takes precedence over human instincts. But they rarely clash. And even when they clash, as they did in HaMaria for Avram, he still processed it as a human being, sacrificing his son. He didn't become he didn't lobotomize himself. He didn't objectify Yitzchak. He didn't ignore moral instincts. So Rav Amital will talk about this every year on Rosh Hashanah, the second day. I'll just read two or three quick proofs Rav Amital would give. Number one, if you read the Akedah, Mirtz Hashem will read it tomorrow. We hope this Chus Akedah, this Chus Akedah Yitzchak will help our people. So listen to the Akedah. Vayachard v'meilu, v'kim yisatz Avram, kachnas bincha, esichidcha, asher haftas Yitzchak. This is always taunting Avram. It's going to be hard enough for him to sacrifice. And now Hashem has to say, you love him, and Yitzchak, he's your son. Just say, take that person over there. Depersonalize. The easiest way to kill is to depersonalize the victim. Or is to turn the victim into an objective, objectify the victim. Pornography is one way of objectifying humanity, and death, and just say, oh, just killing, is another objectification. And you abdicate that person's dignity of being selected by Hashem as being a human being. So what happens? We know that Yitzchak is his son. Why is his Torah telling us? Why is he saying Vanar? We know that Yitzchak is his son. Why is he saying Yitzchak Beno? We know Yitzchak el Avram Aviv. We know Avram is his father. Ve'yamar Avi. Ve'yamar Neni Bini. Ve'yamar Neni Shetzim. Ve'yamar Avram Lekim Yosel Le'ola Bini. Ve'yamar Shem Yachdav. Ve'yamar Makom. Ve'yamar Yitzchak Beno. Trust me. The word Beno and Av appears over 10 times in this short section. Because they weren't objectifying each other. They went as father and son, with all the love that a father has for his son, and all the dread that a father had that he would have to sacrifice his son. But in the end, that's a litmus test of being an Orthodox Jew. Is sometimes you don't understand Hashem, and you submit to it as well. But that doesn't mean that you stop loving your son. That doesn't mean that you stop referring to him as your son, even though in theory it would be easier to do the deed if you didn't call him your son. He's your son, for goodness sakes. Second Medrash. Medrash says, this is always like shocked me, how Rav Amital has such a capacity for metaphor. Rav Aaron studied literature. Rav Amital had a fourth grade education from Hungary. The Medrash says, I'm sure you heard that. Oh, not good. The Medrash says that Satan appears to Avram as an older man and tries to question the morality of the Akedah. Then the Satan couldn't beat Avram, so he appeared to Yitzchak as a young boy, a young man, and he tried to discourage him. Rav Amital felt it wasn't the Satan masquerading on Purim. What was really happening in this Medrash is Avram was going through an inner turmoil. He was talking to himself, who's struggling with his issue. How can I kill my son? Because he was an older man, he was talking to himself and he was talking to an older man. It was his own projection. And then Yitzchak was struggling with the morality of it, and Yitzchak was a 37-year-old man, so he's still a 37-year-old. He's talking to himself. Not the Satan was switching clothing. It wasn't the Satan. It was human beings, given moral instincts, struggling to make sense of something that was seen monstrous, seemed so incomprehensible. But they didn't stop. They continued on their way, but they still didn't abdicate their humanity. I kept thinking, this doesn't make sense. How could I? And then the third medrash, to me the most powerful medrash, we say, in Slichos, Misha Ana L'Avram Avina Bahara Maria Hu Yanenu. Where did Avram daven? He answered Avram, and Hara Maria answer us. So many Rishonim interpret this, that Avram daven after the Akedah. And he asked Hashem, just like I was Kovesh my Rachamim for my son, I wanted to serve you, you should be Kovesh your Kas one day when Jews make you angry, and let your racham and be kovesh your kas. That's the tefillah we say in Korbanos every day. The Medrash says, no, Avram was standing at Har Moriah, not davening after the Akedah, but before the Akedah, davening to Hashem that he should repeal the Akedah. Batel, Gzeros Rals. According to the Medrash, he was davening, Shir Lamalos Esa'inai El HaHarim, he was sitting in Yerushalayim, looking at the mountain, saying, Me'ayin Yavo Azri. Could you imagine davening to Hashem to rescind the mitzvah of the Akedah? This is the biggest mitzvah any human being could ever perform. The schuyos of the Akedah cascade throughout the generations. You're davening to Hashem to cancel the Akedah? The answer is yes. If Hashem doesn't cancel, he's going to do it. But he's davening to Hashem, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, cancel the Akedah. It doesn't make sense. I don't want to do this. That was Rav Amital's read. That you listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon even when it doesn't make sense. But you also serve Hashem with your humanity. And 90% of the time, 98% of the time, your humanity is going to enhance your avodas Hashem. Don't just learn Torah, but learn Torah as a sympathetic and kind, whatever human being. Try to meet good people in this world and learn from good people, not just from firm people. Hopefully you'll find firm people also good people. But you can learn a lot from good people and caring people and sensitive people and good humans, people who live their lives the right way. Right? Just as a test question, just to put it into perspective. Who's the best person you've met so far in your life, aside from me, who's not firm, and you've learned a lot from them, or that you've read about? Good test question. Have you met that person yet? Maybe not. Or have you met someone who's not even Jewish, who's a really, really good person? You can learn a lot from that person. Because part of being an Ovad Hashem is being a good person. That was probably Rav Aaron's thesis. Now, the road to being a best Ovad Hashem is perfecting yourself, not just as a Talmud Chacham and an Ose Mitzvos, following the trail of Torah and Mitzvos, but also making yourself the best human being possible as an Ovid Hashem. And sometimes to make yourself the best human being possible, you have to look to other sources. Because Chazal didn't talk about every single aspect. They're too busy talking about Karen and Sharon Moore, things that are more important. Remember Rav Aaron, when he talked to us about trying to understand his father who was blind and climbing to his father's world, he says, Chazal don't talk about what's going on in the mind of a blind person. So he read Milton, who was a blind poet, who wrote a poem called Samson Agonistes about Shimshon being a blind Navi. And he said that that helped him understand his father's plight and climb into his father's mindset and identify and be there and communicate with his father. And Chazal didn't talk about it because they were busy doing other things. It's like there's a mesecta on blind people, which we have Tosfos and Rashi. So to be a better sympathetic person for blind people, Aaron had to read and think and process. Not just reading. This isn't a Torah Mada conversation. It's just, it's a scope question, not a material question. The scope is, how can I be the best human being I can be? That will help me be an Oved Hashem. But being a great human being and channeling it, I'll serve Hashem b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol miyodecha. That was Rav Amital's complimentary picture to the Akedah. On the one hand, Avram submits. However, he doesn't abdicate. And that's why the final scene of the Akedah, when the Malach stops him, Avram's crying into Yitzchak's eyes. What do you mean you're crying? You're fulfilling Hashem's will. You're a hero of history. Yeah, but that's why you can feel two different emotions at once. You're happy to perform Hashem's will, but you're sad that you're sacrificing your son. The litmus test of orthodoxy is you never, never prioritize your instincts to Hashem's will. Period. 99% of the time, the two are in sync. Human instinct and Hashem's will. Even when you don't understand that, you submit to Hashem's will, but you don't. Questions are a good thing. Predicating faith based on answers is a bad thing. Questions means you want to understand Hashem more. You don't ask questions, you won't try to understand. I'm asking questions day and night. How is this happening? I don't have answers. Doesn't mean I stop. Doesn't mean I halt my faith. I want to understand Hashem more. I want to feel closer to Hashem. To do that, I have to ask respectful questions. Don't stifle your questions. But don't base religion on having all the answers. You will leave this world probably with more questions uncovered than answers discovered. Right? You're all a month older than you were a month ago, and you have more questions now than you had a month ago. I don't know what Hashem has in store for your life, but a lot of questions. Okay, so you have questions. Questions don't kill anyone. Okay? Shabbat shalom, everyone. Shabbat shalom.